This is Kathleen Ermitage. I'm the researcher for the Oral History Project from Peace Studies from Mundelein to Loyola. It is March 3rd, 2015, and I'm with Professor William French. I'm going to begin by asking a broad question about how the Peace Studies program was brought over here from Mundelein to Loyola. As I understand it from our previous conversations, it was a very kind of multi-layered process, not only bringing the two institutions together, but the faculty and then the multiple disciplines that were represented on the committee. So I'm wondering if you would mind describing how that came together.
Certainly. Part of it was a time of sadness for Mundelein College. Had a long, wonderful history of as a Catholic women's college, and really doing great innovative programs. They partnered a lot with the Kroc Center for International Peace over at Notre Dame. Groups would come in to Notre Dame from around the world, and they would get two or three days of focusing on international peace, and then they would put them on a bus, and they would come up to Little Mundelein, and where the sisters and people of the Peace Studies program would take them to a soup kitchen in Uptown, and they would get to see some of the urban challenges of American inequity. And so Mundelein was a very special institution, and it was sad that it was not able to continue. But happily, Loyola had a contiguous campus, and it was certainly an opportunity for Loyola to incorporate the Mundelein buildings, but also the Mundelein community, the students and the energy of the faculty. And so Dean Kathleen McCourt saw this as a wonderful opportunity to, you have a new group of faculty coming into Loyola. They've had a distinctive Peace Studies program there. They know what they're doing with it. It excited the students, and we don't have that. But we could take those faculty and add to them some of the strengths that Loyola has in other disciplines. And it was noted at the time, a distinctive feature of Mundelein College was the education of Catholic women. Well, Loyola's a much bigger institution, and actually we educate more Catholic women and more women in our student body than Mundelein ever did. So the education of women is not something that's foreign to Loyola. It just wasn't the distinctive emphasis of Loyola. And so Kathleen McCourt saw this as an opportunity. Also, structurally, it's an opportunity as well. Interdisciplinary studies allow a university to integrate the teaching and research of a network of faculty plucked from different departments to a subject area, and it allows Loyola to say, we have an additional interdisciplinary minor, and Loyola doesn't have to hire any new faculty at all. It's a very inexpensive program to run. You need a coordinator and to give them a modest stipend, and that's it. And faculty are typically quite supportive, because faculty in different departments have not many other people to talk to about this area of interest of theirs. And so it's a real win-win situation institutionally for the university. It could advertise it as a Peace Studies program. For the faculty networking element, it's very significant, and it offers students an interdisciplinary program. They may be majoring in women's studies or political science or philosophy. In addition, they can take an interdisciplinary minor.
Very good. Thank you for pointing out some of the historical context of that period. And then I'm wondering if you could speak just even briefly about the group of people that you helped bring together to form the initial committee.
Sure. The on the Loyola side, some of the years before the committee was called to plan the Peace Studies program, the Catholic bishops in 1983 wrote a tremendously important pastoral letter. It was at the height of the Cold War, and fear of nuclear expansion of nuclear arsenals and the global threat that this posed to the two peoples, but to the people of the rest of the planet, was tangible. And the Catholic bishops wrote in this pastoral letter, they gave a qualified endorsement for nuclear deterrence to provide stability and hopefully peace, but they were deeply worried, as we all should be, continue to be, that it's not the ultimate foundation for true peace, namely threat, peace founded on massive threat. And so the bishop's pastoral letter included a call for all Catholic colleges and universities to have in their curriculum courses focusing on war and peace issues. And so Dean McCourt helped generate a group of faculty who expressed an interest in combining their strengths into a course, a team-taught course on war and peace issues. And I was given the opportunity to coordinate that course. And so I happily drew on the services of a number of very generous faculty who agreed to give different lectures. And at the time, I also invited the commandant of our ROTC program to see if he would be interested in giving a lecture or two also for this jointly taught course. And he was most happy to. And that proved to be very helpful because it sent a signal to some faculty in our political science department that this was not just going to be simply a pacifist, ideological, narrow agenda, but we were going to respectfully engage the pacifist heritage. We were also respectfully going to engage the just war tradition. And both traditions are discussed at length in the bishop's pastoral letter. And we're also going to engage the sadness of really aggressive holy war or crusader type war. And crusader war when totalizes the conflict, sort of justifies a totalization of our understanding of who the enemy is. And we don't just have crusader war when we have people calling out the word of God to mobilize the carnage. We can mobilize great carnage when we feel our enemy is utterly evil and we are utterly good. And so that was some of the context of the Loyola faculty who were interested in partnering with the interested Mundelein faculty on this project of, in addition to having this jointly offered course, we now had the opportunity to really ramp it up and have a full interdisciplinary program. And so I was asked by Dean McCourt to join with Sister Carol Frances Jagan of Mundelein, who had directed their program, to co-chair a committee appointed by Dean McCourt. And on the committee, there were a number of wonderful, generous faculty members from both programs. Mary Sparks and Prudence Moylan of the, respectively, of the Sociology Department and the History Department. Paul Messbarger of the English Department. Peter Schrader of the Political Science Department. Tom Carson of the Department of Philosophy, and some others gathered for our first planning meeting, and Carol Frances and I had decided to try to jumpstart discussion by identifying a list of courses that we thought deserved to be discussed for possible inclusion into a peace studies program. And so we called our first meeting and, for discussion purposes, looked at a list of courses that some of us had identified as being likely candidates for a peace studies program. We didn't want a program that required us generating, going through the labor of generating lots of whole new courses. Faculty are busy, so the best idea is to look at what you've got offered already, and if you can house those together into the program, well, that would be the ideal. And it was at the first meeting that I realized I had been naive in my expectation that this was going to be an easy task to come to consensus about the shape and structure of a peace studies interdisciplinary program. Because at the table, it seemed apparent to some members of the committee, especially, I would say, some of the faculty from Mundelein, who felt that for a course to be accepted into the peace studies program, a significant portion of each of those courses should involve an examination of peace studies methodology. The research and writing in the last 40 years or so, not with just the greats of the pacifist tradition like Gandhi or Martin Luther King, but ongoing sociological and psychological and communications theorists on sort of the best practices of peacemaking and conflict reduction. And that was a bit of a shock to me, because they very quickly concluded that they thought it wasn't appropriate to accept a course on Vietnam, or accept a history course on World War II, or accept a history course focusing on the Holocaust. And so partly my reaction was one of surprise, but also a bit of trepidation as I watched the list of courses that I thought were very likely subjects for peace studies suddenly get chopped and diminished, especially on the history courses and the political science courses, the courses on American foreign policy or national security concerns. And so that led to some vigorous discussion, and it was a bit heated, and it was a real eye-opener. Everyone was very respectful, but it was obvious that you had really two divergent models of what a peace studies minor would look like. And there was a divergence at our second and third meeting, a divergence of schools of thinking about what we should call the program. That some of us looked at the Peace Studies Association list, and gave a listing of the titles of all of the interdisciplinary programs of the colleges and universities that are members of the Peace Studies Association. And Mundelein, to its credit, was like seventh. It was right there in the founding of the Peace Studies Association. Carol Frances Jagan's sister also was a Catholic nun who helped found Pax Christi. And so Carol Frances Jagan had many years of close involvement with the Peace Studies Association. And a number of people wanted to continue the title that Mundelein had used, namely Peace Studies would be the name of the program. Others of us looked at the listing of the other titles being used by many colleges and universities and thought we would have an advantage of signaling to our student body and also to our faculty that this is a big tent program. We're going to certainly look at pacifism and appreciate it, and we're going to look at stratagems of conflict resolution, and we're going to look at sociological and gender analyses of violence in the United States and economic inequity. All of these we're going to focus on. But in addition, we thought it might be in our interests to go with the title, some faculty proposed, Peace and Conflict Studies or Peace and Security Studies. And I was of that school. I would have preferred, and still would prefer, if it were titled Peace and Conflict Studies. So there were two levels of contestation, and it began to seem, I still interpret it, that what we were getting, there's a gender dimension to the differences, that Mundelein faculty had stress the education of women, and so were intentionally feminist and concerned to profile in an important way gender issues and the gendered analysis of war talk as macho talk and violent, and the analysis of peacemaking as both rhetorically and in terms of conflict resolution about relationship building. And so during this time in feminist philosophical circles, emphasizing relationality as a way of understanding modes of building trust and understanding that can mitigate conflict. And the voices at the table that wanted to include the history courses of War and Peace, and a course in which the head of ROTC might be speaking to our students, and a course on American national security concerns, those voices at the table tended to be among the men. And so I think, to this day, I think there was an important growth period across those number of meetings where we did, there was a need to grapple with how feminist, what would be the role of feminism in the course menu. Appropriately, courses must deal with the importance of feminism and the importance of pacifism and the importance of conflict resolution strategies. But a number of the Loyola faculty wanted to preserve just a greater number of course options for our students. And I think it may have had to do with a sense that, I don't know, maybe more young men tend to take those political science courses or those history courses. And the young women students tend to be taking more of the psychology and the sociology courses out of their women's studies program, so they're attentive to gender issues. And so finally, the committee became somewhat exhausted by going through and trying to build consensus. And finally, Sister Carol Frances Jagan and I had a conversation where we proposed trying a compromise that maybe there could be flexing by some and allow a big tent menu of courses to be accepted, and that would be the World War II course and the Holocaust course, and American foreign policy would be in as an elective. We would have a required overview course that would be filled with peace studies methodology and really attentive to that body of Peace Studies Association research. And on the issue of the name of the program, we would not add security studies, we would not add conflict studies. If we were going to give one side of the debate the course menu that they had wanted, and we were going to give the other side the title of the program. And by that stage, people seemed to think that that's a pretty good compromise. And then the modeling of the structure of the program, I had, was impressed by a philosopher, Michael Walzer, who had a book called Spheres of Justice, and it struck me that an advantage to us would be to think in terms of, well, certainly we want to focus on international violence and peacemaking. We also certainly want to focus on domestic American societal patterns of violence and gender violence and racial inequity and economic inequity. And we're in Chicago, so that should be a natural because it's right in our backyard and it's within all of American society. But in addition to that, I thought it appropriate that we flag a third sphere of violence and peacemaking, namely increasing human practices that seem to be in violent conflict with the Earth's natural ordering and habits of sustainability and the welfare of ecosystems that is increasingly being hammered by humanity's expanding numbers and expanding industrial and agricultural practices of production and consumption. And so the committee finally agreed that, okay, these components, then a peace studies overview required course, and then we could require every peace studies student would have to take at least one elective from each of these three spheres of violence and peacemaking. And that seemed to solve the problem.